You know, sometimes I talk with my boys. I have four boys, and sometimes I talk about their hopes, some of their dreams. I try to pick their brain a little bit, and honestly, I try to help them have a vision, a plan for their lives. And my older boys, they are, you know, 14 and 13, and they're starting to dream a little bigger. They're thinking about future. You know, they're involved in music. They want to change the world with music. Stephen wants to be in the military. He has since he was a little kid. That's his vision, is to somehow be involved in the military, and he may do that. My third oldest, Jonathan, I don't know if I can share this. I think he's okay if I share this, but for the longest time, when we ask him, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, you ask a 10-year-old that, but ever since he's been 5, 6, 7, 8, he'll give this answer first: I want to work at Walmart. That's his vision. He'll tell you today. And you know the reason, don't you? I mean, think about it. I mean, life is found at Walmart. I mean, everything that could make a little kid happy in his life is found at Walmart. That's where we shop a lot, and he gets a lot of happiness just from being at Walmart. He thinks, man, if I work there, then all the stuff is mine. I think he kind of thinks that. You know, we all have dreams. We all have ambitions. We all have hopes. And as a church, we have dreams. And we have hopes, and we have ambitions. We have a godly discontentment for where we're at. God has brought us a long way, and I believe God is telling us that we are just at the very beginning, that we have no idea what God has for us in the future. But he wants us to dream big, to think big, to believe him for amazing things. And that's what this Roots campaign is all about. It's a faith-raising capital campaign that influences all three of our locations, all four of our services. Ultimately, what it comes down to is we're believing God that we're going to be able to raise enough money to buy a permanent facility in Sandy. Right now, we're on a month-to-month basis, and we're believing that if we could get a permanent facility in Sandy, which planted this church, by the way, and helped plant the Provo Church, that we could plant lots of other churches if we could get solid and grow solid there, get our roots down deep, in other words, into the community. That's what the Roots campaign is all about. I'm going to talk about our hopes and our dreams tonight, our vision, in other words. So if you're new at this, if you haven't been around much, this is kind of be like you're coming to a family reunion. You're going to learn a lot about our church. You're going to learn about our history, our dreams, our passions. You're going to see it. I'm going to show you a slideshow of the last 9 years. And there was tears last night in Provo from some of the old-timers. Old-timers, 9 years. We've been here 9 years. But they remember those humble beginnings. And if you're new at this, you think, oh, the Rock's got it going on, and you got lots of people. And it's true. There's lots of people that come, lots of people to visit. Lots of people get saved. Lots of people get baptized. And that's what we're all about. But it didn't start that way. And we think from where we are now, God has so much more planned for us. As a matter of fact, I believe that what God's doing in Utah is way bigger than we are. And he is doing something. We're a piece of the puzzle of what God's plans are here in Utah. And it gets me so excited as I pray. I have a prayer path that I walk sometimes, and there's this one path that goes back and forth along this foothill. And I'm all alone, and I can see the whole city, and I stop at this one corner every time. And I'll be honest, I look around and see if anybody's watching, and then I just raise my hands over the city and say, God, you are the king of Salt Lake City. This is your city. You win it for yourself. May everyone in this city have a biblical view of who you are. Would you take away the veil? Would you reveal yourself to the city? God, thank you that I get to be a part of it. And as a church, we're a part of something way bigger than we are. I believe that. And I want to share what I want you to go away with tonight. It's a little different service. I want you to go away excited about the future. I want to hopefully paint a little picture of where we're headed as a church and invite you to be a part. Because God has definitely brought us a long way from 9 years ago when it was just me, my family, and the McEnroys in my living room to three churches now and four services, and actually they're all full. And we need to continue to spread out in this valley. And we're going to do it. So I'm going to talk about vision tonight, which means I have to talk about our past and our present, because you can't know where you're going unless you know where you're at. You got to know where you've come from. You got to know your history, where you're at, so you can get a launching pad for where we think God wants us to go. Okay, vision. What's vision? Well, you know, it's not something you get from smoking peyote in some overheated teepee in the woods somewhere, okay? That's not the kind of vision I'm talking about. Okay. Vision, well, here's one definition, and I like this. Andy Stanley says it this way. Vision, listen, is painting a picture of a preferred future. Vision. For us, it'd be God giving us an impression, God helping us understand what the future could be, a preferred future, what should or could be in the future as it relates to our church. That's a vision. Kind of sets it out before us, and we go, whoa, could that happen? Well, let's aim for that. That's what the vision we're talking about. Here's another definition. From Jonathan Swift, he said, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. And that could be a peyote vision, I guess, too, seeing invisible things. The art of seeing things that haven't happened yet. To look ahead and go, man, what could be or should be a preferred future is what Jonathan Swift said. And I think he kind of looks like Tony D'Amico there, just a little bit, personally. Willie Stone said this, vision, listen, vision without a task, a vision, a man, a big dream without a task, a way to get there is, it's only, vision without a task is only a dream. If you don't have a way to get there, it's only just a dream, it's in your mind. A task without a vision is drudgery, you're just working, but you don't know where you're going. But a vision with a task is a dream fulfilled. And I believe God's given us both a vision for a preferred future for our church and a way to get there. That's what our Roots campaign is all about. We have a vision for where God wants to take us. We believe God wants us to start 20 services by the year 2020. We have four now, 16 more to go. And we know a way to get there. And that's by getting that permanent facility in Sandy. That's going to help augment us getting that vision, getting that dream to come true. So vision. At the church, at our church, this is what we've always been about. And you know this vision. This is our vision statement. This is it. We are about one life at a time and one world in our lifetime. And that statement was not just pulled out of the air. That has been thought through every word. We're trying to live that. We believe that it takes one life at a time, one life here, one life here at a time, and we will reach the world. That's the only way we'll reach the world. Now, once we reach one person, then we need to pass it on, what we know, and help them reach another person, and help them reach another person, don't we? Because we can't just, we'll never reach the world if we just, you know, if I'm just out there, you invite, if I could reach 10,000 people a day, we'd never reach the world. We need to pass it on. But our vision is the what? It's our dream that we want to reach the world. We are dreaming about world domination, nothing less. I'll just be honest with you. World conquest. That's why we have a godly discontent for 1,000 people is what we have right now at all three locations. You know, I have a godly discontent for that because we have a whole world to reach, but we can be a part of it. God wants us to be a part of that, a big part, I think. That's our vision. You think, well, how can we do that? That's crazy. You can't reach the world. You know, you might think, oh, this is church, so I'm going to acquiesce. I'm going to say, yeah, we can, woo, we'll go preach it, Bill. We're going to reach the world. It ain't really going to happen, but I'm just going to say it because we're in church. I'm going to pretend that we're going to really reach the world. I happen to believe it. And I happen to believe it can be done. And it should be done. Because other people have reached the world. You know that? With their message, do you know that? You know one company that's reached the world? I've shared this before, but I think it bears sharing again. Here's a company that's reached the world with their message. That's me drinking a Diet Coke in Petra, Jordan, last January. And I took a picture of the can. Coca-Cola has reached the world. Do you know that a recent study, actually it was a couple years ago, but they did a study and found out that 51% of the world's population, of every soul on this planet, over half have tasted Coca-Cola. Stop and think about that just for a second. They've tasted this product. Half the world, 74%, could recognize Coca-Cola. They've seen it. 3/4 of the world's population has seen it. And over 91% has heard of Coca-Cola. They have reached our world with their product for a dollar. Do you know that less than 10% of the world's population has heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Less than 10%. I honestly believe if we paid Christians 10 bucks a pop for every time they shared the gospel, the world would get reached. And I'm not kidding. If we paid Christians to do it, I think it would happen. Coke can do it for a profit. I think we owe it to Jesus to believe that we can reach the world with the best message, the best news in the world. Okay? We can do that. Better than Coke. Amen. Everything we do needs to be driven by our vision. Here's a great verse. Where there is no vision, it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, if you don't have a goal, a plan, something you're shooting for, no vision, the people perish. They die or they are unrestrained. Meaning they just kind of go wherever they're going to go. You ever seen Christians like that? Just, oh, I don't know. I'm living for my 401k. I'm living for pleasure. I'm living, you know, you just look at them and say, what are you living for? Do you have a vision for your life other than just retiring well? And if you don't have a vision to have God take your life and use it and invest it in eternity, then you're unrestrained. And you just kind of do whatever it takes to make you happy, I guess. Just like the rest of the world. Most Christians are living like the rest of the world. They don't have a vision. They don't have a plan. They don't see their lives being used for anything more than just their own happiness. And that's a sad thing because it says they perish. And it's a wasted life. You can be a Christian and waste your life. And a lot of Christians are. Listen, do you know where you're going? Do you have a purpose? You know, I love thinking about Walt Disney. My family went there this year. And the man was a visionary, no doubt about it. And, you know, interesting story, he built Disneyland, but then he had a vision for this other place down in Florida, Disney World. And they worked and they worked, and he shared his vision and plan, and they built it. And right before it opened up, the man died. Walt Disney died. And his staff was at a staff meeting shortly after his death, right after they opened Disney World, and they were lamenting the fact that Walt didn't get to be there. And they were saying, man, and one of the staffers said, you know, it's so sad that Walt didn't get to see Disney World. He wanted to see it so badly. And the creative director at that point, Mike Vance, spoke up and said this. He said, he did see it. That's why it's here. You know, he truly did. He had a vision. He had a preferred future. He knew what he wanted, and therefore he could direct people to it. He'd already seen it in his mind. And as a church, we have a vision to reach the world, and we do it one life at a time. One life at a time to reach the world. That's the what. How do we do that? How do we get there? That's our mission statement. That's how to get there. And our mission statement is this. Our mission, in order to reach the world one life at a time, is to win the lost, to build the believer, and to send the sanctified. That's multiplication. Last night, they baptized three people, Chris, Blake, and Brady, in Provo. Amen. And as I witnessed those baptisms, those excited kids, you know what? I told them, I said, this is our vision right here. And young men, what we need now is to train you and send you out to do the same thing, to have somebody else, have you share with other people and have them become Christians and you baptize them and then you teach them and you send them out. And in that way, through multiplication, we'll reach the world. That's our vision and that is our mission. And our Roots campaign is simply an extension of what we believe, a plan that God has given us to take us to that next step, to help us accomplish the mission and the vision that God has given us. That's all it is. But we all have to do it together. And I need to share with you tonight how we can accomplish this vision. I think first we got to look back, especially if you're new, if you haven't been around that long, you need to look back and understand what you're a part of. Because God has done amazing things. We're going to look back at the past, and we'll be encouraged by the past. Then we have to take an assessment of where we're at right now. And we're going to assess that, and we're going to be amazed by the present, and then we're going to be encouraged by the future. As I talk briefly about what specifically this Roots campaign entails and how it's going to involve you. That's where we're going tonight, okay? We're going to look at the past, present, and the future. And I think it's going to bless your life. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that even as Ben was sharing, that someday, Lord, you're coming back. That we just read, Ben just read the end of the book. And that's a happy ending, Lord. Lord, that is a happy ending to know that you're going to come back. And we say amen. We agree. We say, yes, Lord, Maranatha, come back. God, that would be our preferred future, even tonight. Come back. Because we want to be with you. This life is not always easy. Lord, while it's day, we're going to do the labors. We're going to work the works of him who sent us. We're going to labor hard for you. We're going to win the world for you. But we are looking forward to when our labors are over. But they're not over yet. And until then, give us strength. Help us have a vision. Help us be vision-driven people. Help us tonight to have a bigger vision. Understand this life, there's more to this life than just us. There's more to this church than just this church. You have a bigger plan for us. Help us all to engage in it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. How to develop a winning vision. Understand this. Rock Church, we are encouraged by our past. You need to understand that. We look back. I look back. As a church, we can look back and go, oh my goodness. God has done amazing things. And understand, when we came out here 9 years ago, when we unloaded our van in my house, and then I went four houses down and I helped the McEnroys unload their van because we bought houses on the same day and we moved just four houses away from each other. And we moved on the same day. Actually, we were kind of fighting over moving vans. He had reserved one and I had reserved one, and then they were short. It's like, what are we going to do? When we came out here, we had one hope and dream. We wanted to win the world, one life at a time. That's been our dream from the very beginning. We just want to share the gospel with whoever we can, the good news of Jesus Christ, and let that change their lives. You know, that was the mission Jesus had when he was on the earth. And that's why we've had it from the very beginning. As we look at our past as a church, that's what it's all about. Jesus came, it says, to seek and save the lost. Can you read that verse with me? Can you see it? Let's read it out loud together. Ready? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Why did the Son of Man come? To build churches? Oh, wait a minute. That's not what it says. To build schools? No. To build soup kitchens, probably. I mean, that's a good thing. To build the Red Cross? Is that why he came? Did he come to just teach people? I came to be a great expositor of the Bible. Jesus came, make no mistake about it, to seek and save the lost. All those other things are good things, there's no doubt about it. But I guarantee you, if you go back to the beginning of every Christian school, every Christian hospital, every soup kitchen, every Red Cross movement, every compassion and mercy ministry that is based on Christ, you go back to the very beginning and their heart was, we want to seek and save the lost. Therefore, if we meet their physical needs, or if we help them with their health, or if they're hurting, if we help them with their physical needs, then maybe we can win them to Christ. I guarantee you that's how they started. Because that's our vision. And over time, what happens is the tool that was used to win people becomes the all-in-all. It's just about being a Christian school. It's only a hospital, Christian hospital in name only. The YMCA, you know what that stands for? Young Men's Christian Association. It was a Christian organization to win young men to Christ. And now we don't even know what the name is. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. This church has been here to seek and save the lost. And understand this, we don't have tons of different ministries. There's nothing wrong with ministries, just like there's nothing wrong with a hospital or a school or a soup kitchen. We don't have a ton of, you know, we don't have a, over 70 badminton ministry to, you know, under-deprived gray-haired people. We don't have ministries like that. We don't have tons of men's ministries. We don't have tons of women's ministries. We don't have all these different things that a lot of churches have and you know, softball teams. And we've had softball teams, but that's not what we're here for. But if those ministries, if those things can help us win the lost, then we're all about it. People often come to me and say, well, do you have this ministry and this ministry and this ministry? And, you know, I just want to say, you know, no, we don't. But if you let me be your pastor and you let The Rock be your church, I'll teach you that you don't need all those things. What you really need is to learn how to win people to Christ, build them up, and send them out. And you should be doing that yourself. We are not about just being having the longest list of ministries as a church. Actually, you know what? That can be a distraction from the real job. We want to be lean and mean and lead people to Christ and baptize them, train them, love them, and send them out to do it again. That's really what we're about. It's pretty simplistic, I know. And some of you are kind of like shopping. Oh, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Probably not. But if you want to learn how to make your life count for eternity, then you're at the right place. We'll give you a vision and a mission to live for. And you'll never be disappointed. Your mission drives what you do. Whatever your mission is, whatever your vision is, it will affect what you do. I like what Andy Stanley said. He said, we all end up somewhere in life. Some of us get there on purpose. Are you purposeful in where you're headed and what you're doing? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what your life is going to be used for? Do you have a vision, a mission in your life? Are you just bouncing around? Are you unrestrained? You feel like, I don't even know what I'm here for. You got to have a vision. You have to have a mission to live for. You got to get there on purpose. And we can look back at our past and go, you know what? We have been purposeful. We want to see people come to know Christ. We want to share the gospel with people. I think of one man that had a mission that matters. I love this story. You've heard of William Booth. He started the Salvation Army way back in the late 1800s. And William Booth, at one point in 1904, he was honored by the King of England, King Edward VII. He was invited to Buckingham Palace. And if I've read his biography, he's an amazing man. He loves God with all his heart. He was all about the gospel. He was all about the gospel. Just wanted to win another soul, just another soul, one more soul. And he started the Salvation Army to help people physically feed their stomachs and help them. But he was all about, really what he wanted was to share this, help them spiritually. Anyway, he was honored by the king. And the king, as he was given this great honor, this humble man, William Booth, stood before the king, and the king gave him his award and said, Mr. Booth, I'm curious, what is the source of your strength? How do you seem to find it in yourself to be such a humanitarian and help so many people? And before that, the most powerful human being on earth at that time, this is what this humble servant of God said. He said, Your Majesty, some men's passion is for art. Some men's passion is for fame. My passion is for souls. He knew what he was all about. It wasn't about fame and getting awards of the king. He was about leading people to Christ, even the king. He witnessed to the king. Can you imagine that? I'm about seeing people come to know Christ, King Edward. Do you know where you're going? Listen, there's no doubt about it that God has done, past tense, remember we're looking at the past, has done amazing things at the Rock. There's no doubt about it. I think of the salvations. I think about the opportunities God has given me personally to influence, even in this valley, leaders and different people that I've been able to have an effect on, and our church has had an effect on. Honestly, when I first came into town, there were very few churches over 200. 200 was about the max. 200 would have been a mega church 9 years ago in Utah. And you guys have been around. You know that, right? I mean, that's true. God has brought a lot of churches into Utah in the last 9 years. God is up to something huge, if you haven't noticed. But the Rock has been able to be available. God has used us. God has blessed us to be able to reach out and influence this culture. I can't hardly go anywhere. And honestly, even when I'm paying for things with my business card, and it says the Rock Church on it, people will go, hey, you're up there on 106 and 13th, or you're downtown. Are you the Rock Church? Now, how does it work with you in K2? Because I've seen your sign. I can't go hardly anywhere in this valley without people knowing about the Rock Church. It's honestly true. And that's good, because we want them to come in, because we want to share the gospel with them. It's not about the Rock Church. You get my heart here? God has done amazing things in the past. Families, I can think of the countless families and marriages that through biblical counseling or through the teachings, the biblical principles have been helped. The young men and women through this church who have come to know Christ. The musicians, just the musicians, if I had them come up, they'd fill the stage up. That God has radically changed their lives. And they've turned their heart away from just what they can get out of their music. And they said, God, I've got this gift. I give it to you. I'm just happy to scrub floors at this church. And if you let me play music, I'd be honored. There'd be a stage full of tattooed and long-haired men and women that have completely given everything up for Jesus Christ. I go, thank you, God, that you have blessed us in the past. And I go, what are you going to do in the future? But I get ahead of myself because we're still talking about the past. So what I want to do, I could talk on and on. But can I just show you? Because a picture is worth 1,000 words, right? And I put a little music with it, and it's worth about 1,500, I think. So we're gonna see how this works. It's a big slideshow. But I want you to watch and just kind of see what we're all about. We're about winning people for Christ. And just see how God's done that through the baptisms. And as we grow and grow, it's not about just growing. It's about changed lives and what God's done in the past. Some of you are going to see your pictures. Some of you are going to see Kelsey McEnroy is a little tiny girl, and Colin is even smaller. You're going to see my boys that are just little boys, and they're getting baptized. You're going to see amazing things. A lot of you have been around here for 8 years, and it's going to bring back a lot of memories. But the rest of you, this is your heritage. This is who we are. This is who we are in the past, and it's going to bring us up to the present. So if we could see if this works, I would be blessed if it did. So just watch this, and I'll come back up, and we'll move on.
Oh,
You know, there's a lot of memories going back over the last 9 years, and, you know, a lot of faces, a lot of good times, a lot of amazing stories there, aren't there? And I think I hope that encouraged you. Just a little look back, a little taste. Those are just pictures that I took and, you know, where I was at those events. There's a lot more baptisms, a lot more stories there. But by looking at the past, it's going to help us launch into the future, because we can see what God's done in the past. We don't know what He's going to do in the future. Looking back, we can get confidence, can't we? So we're going to move ahead here. First, we're encouraged by the past. Understand that we're amazed by the present, where we're at right now. Just understand this. Jesus called us to be a witness, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. That's a geographical progression from where you're at, your locality, your small group here to the city level, to the state level, to the country level, all the way out. We're to be witnesses. And that's what we're doing right now. We are witnessing. Lots happen. We are witnessing to people. People are getting saved all over the place. People are hearing about Jesus Christ. People are hungry to hear about Jesus Christ. So we have gone from just a handful of people that first year to three churches, three locations, and four services, and it's just the beginning. And where we're at right now, again, we're busting at the seams at all the locations. We're ready to plant a new service in the Provo Church on a Sunday morning. I think they're gearing up to do that soon. They could do that because they meet Friday nights. They could have another service Sunday to open up more space. And we are poised for more growth, for more souls, for more salvations, more baptism. That's where we're at right now. God wants us to witness, doesn't He? Amen. Right now, in the presence, with the friends around you, one person said it this way, a non-witnessing Christian is a contradiction. God wants you and I, in the present, right now, to be talking to people about Christ, to be opening our mouths and sharing the good news of Christ with people. He wants us to do that. You know, there was a Gallup poll that was taken about 3 years ago, I think. And of the 61 people that were polled, 61 million people that were polled that said they were not going to church anywhere, over half those people that said, I'm not going to church, over half of them said, I'm waiting for an invitation from someone. Have you ever invited somebody to church and they said, oh man, thanks, I was hoping you'd invite me. I have. My wife has. I've got a story in Loveland, Colorado, a woman my wife was working with. And we were trying to be sensitive. You know how it is. I don't want to step on toes. And we're going, when should we invite her? When should we talk to her? And finally, we just, you know, it was a couple weeks into her relationship with this co-worker. And my wife said, hey, Susan, would you like to come to church with us? She knew I was a pastor. She knew Mary was a pastor's wife. And Susan looked at her and said, I'd love to come to church. I was afraid you weren't going to ask me. And we were all afraid, you know, that, oh, we don't want to offend. Well, you know, Susan became a Christian, and I led her husband to Christ, and her husband's sister we led to Christ, and her husband's sister, future husband, we led to Christ. Now they're married, and they're leaders in the Greeley Church, and their kids have become Christians just because my wife invited her to church, and their whole family has changed. I played on a softball team with his dad and witnessed his dad and to his brother and to his mom. We've had a huge impact on their family because we witness in the present right now. God wants us to open our mouths, and I think we know that. That's our job. God's given us that job. And understand, God is doing amazing things right now in the families and the people that come to our church right now, today. He is changing lives. I want you to be encouraged by that. I want you to be amazed by that. Matter of fact, I'd like you to hear from three families that God has touched through the ministries of the Rock Church, through the people at the Rock Church. And I want you to listen, because we have it on video, and listen to how just someone willing to witness or put a door hanger on somebody's door, just share the gospel with someone, see how it's changed their lives. Let's just watch this real quick here, just a quick video to close out this section on how we're amazed by what God's doing right now. Here's some families in our Sandy Church.
We moved here from Colorado to help start the Rock Church.
We just thought God wanted us to take a step of faith.
We're here because of a door hanger. It said, come as you are.
Got a flyer on our doorstep, and it asked us if we wanted a better marriage, to be better parents, to find God without the guilt.
I expected to drive up to a brand new church, brand new steeple, and and open the door and look at all the people, and we drove up to a rec center.
Our five-year-old had said, "I want to know who Jesus is." I thought, well, okay, well, I'll go to a church, but only if it's just straight from the Bible. And he's like, "Nah, those churches don't exist."
Through the rec, we've seen so many exciting things for our family and people getting saved and them witnessing to other people and their lives growing and changing.
It was either a 4 or 6 week seminar on parenting, and I heard the truth during that.
And we actually had Bill and Jeff Border come over with us.
And we had an opportunity that day to share with them the gospel, and both of them prayed to know Jesus that day, and it was an incredible experience.
We finally found the truth that Jesus Christ lives.
We just connected right away with the Hans. Had we not met someone that made an effort to come introduce themselves and connect with us, our kids met and hit it off, we could have just easily slipped away.
God knew exactly what he was doing by putting this family in our lives that could speak to us and share Christ with us.
I love The Rock because this is my family. These are my best friends here.
From the moment you walk in the door, you feel like the people are just, they just care about you.
And I love the leadership. I love the teachings.
You get truth. I mean, you know that the leaders of this church are founded in Christ.
Our marriage, we were really struggling, and we were new parents. We didn't know what we were doing. And we have just received so much counsel and so many wonderful teachings over the years.
You're just never alone. You never feel like you have to figure it out by yourself.
My marriage, my children, the things that have changed my life, God 100% blesses me all the time.
And of course, all the changes have come through God. It's not,
right.
You know, The Rock. And the effect is eternal. A permanent home for The Rock would draw more people, especially in this culture, because they're used to seeing established buildings.
It eliminates maybe some of the reservations of inviting people, maybe even, or, you know, again, it is superficial, but it's just kind of the reality of what we're dealing with.
There's times that I know that I've gotten to know a lot of these children, and sometimes God is not in the home, but when they come to church, that's where it is, and we need to have a permanent home where these children can come and feel important and also learn about God.
You know, just to me, that's so powerful because you got to understand that the Porters, we met them way back in Colorado, and they were just brand new parents. Nathan was just a screaming little baby. I mean, he was a handful, and they came to the church that I planted in Loveland, and they were in my small group, and they've been with us ever since. They've been with us for close to 15 years, and they came out here to help plant the little church that we started in Sandy. The Hans who helped the Roberts, Phil Hahn is my brother-in-law. He's my wife's brother, and he came out here to help us as well with his family. This is very personal to me. This is family. And the Morgans, then Jeff Porter and I, they came to our church, and we said, "Hey, can we come to your house?" And we went to their house and shared the gospel with the Morgans. And that day they got on their knees in their kitchen, and Jeff and I prayed with them. They're our first couple converts from Utah. And they've been with us ever since. Now their kids are in our youth group, and Shane cooked breakfast for us this morning at our youth from our youth overnighter. And they're winning people to Christ, and they're bringing their friends. And right now in the presence, that's where we have the opportunity to witness, right here today. All right? God has done amazing things right here in our presence. He's taken us to a point where we're ready to move to the future, okay? And that's my last point, is we're going to move ahead to the future after we hear from D.L. Moody. Actually, we're not. We're going to move on. God's doing amazing things at The Rock. Yeah, read his biography. You'll see it in there. Oh, we don't need that there. Okay, point number 3. We are encouraged by our past, yes?
Yes.
Are we amazed by where he's brought us to? Yes. And we can be excited about the future. understand this. Jesus gave us one command, and that was what? To reach the world. Go and make disciples. Matthew 28. Let me read that. And this is the heart of our church. Go, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you not read worldwide evangelism in that verse? Go to all the nations, to the very end of the age, or to the very end of the world is another way that can be translated. Jesus said, go share your faith and teach them. Build them up. Win the lost, build a believer, and send the sanctified. Win them, build them up, disciple them, baptize them, teach them to go out on their own and send them out. That's what we're all about. This is it right here. And that's what our future is going to be all about. And understand this, we believe God will do. He has done, is doing, but will do amazing things in the future. We believe that. I have no doubt about that, that he is at work in Utah, and we're just kind of on the wave. We're a part of it. And that's my desperate prayer. God, help us be a part of what you're doing in Utah. Our preferred future is that we would have 20 services by the year 2020. That's our preferred future, what should be, what could be, as far as our church is concerned. Obviously, we'd have more and more impact in this community. Imagine, if you would, just maybe something, you got to realize that's going to impact you. It takes people to start new services. Maybe start a service in Logan or Tooele or down in Lehigh or wherever. I don't know. It's wide open. I don't know what God's going to do, but it's going to take people. It's going to take money. It's going to take bands to go do that. And there are, I got to just tell you, there's people in Tooele that email me almost every week and are begging us to go start a church there. Begging us. And I have to say, we don't have the resources right now. But I believe we can get those resources. I think that by getting a permanent facility, I truly believe this. I am not about buildings. I am not. But I think in this culture, for that church in Sandy to have a permanent facility will allow us to see this dream come true. I think we can grow strong and we can have resources and we can have influence in this community like we've never had. And from that spawn off, working together, with you and with the Provo Church and other churches that we start, we work together as one church. We can do amazing things and spread the gospel around. Our roots can go all over this state and change the world because of it. I believe if we win Utah, we will reach the world. I've said that and I believe it. The impact we can have on this world if we win Utah, if we have a significant impact, if the biblical gospel impacts this culture and this state, the world will take notice. You have to believe that. This is not just pie in the sky. It will be headline news. The entire world will go, what has happened in Utah? Something's happened. Do you realize that less than 2% of this state's population claims to be evangelical, born-again Christians. Less than 2%. Less than 2%. So, imagine the most amazing miracle you could imagine. Just dream with me just for one second. Imagine that all the good Bible-preaching churches in this valley doubled over this next year. Oh, my, we would have reached Utah. No, we would be at 4%. If we double next year. Oh my goodness, we have a job to do, don't we? We got a lot of work to do. We got to plant lots of churches, lots of services. We got to spread out so that Jesus can be made famous through us. I believe God wants us to have a permanent facility so we can do that. I think it's going to help us with our mission. It's going to give us viability, okay? Here's three things I think it'll give us. This is the building that we're trying to buy. It's actually on 94 South and 7th East. If you haven't heard that yet, it's an old Albertsons, and it would give us roughly about three, almost four times the space that we have in Sandy right now. We would own the building. It would give us legitimacy in this culture, which is so important, stability and opportunity to reach more people. I believe that, and that's what we're all about, to seek and save the lost. We don't have any trouble getting people in our buildings. You know where our trouble lies? Is keeping them, especially established families. It's hard enough for people that come from this culture to come into a church where the pastor has sandals and shorts on and that they're serving coffee. It's hard enough for our friends and neighbors, isn't it? We don't need to have a building that is literally falling apart over our heads. and they wonder, is the nursery even clean? It's clean, but man, you kind of have to wonder when you have a building that's falling apart, because we are on a month-to-month basis. We can't even, it wouldn't even be wise to put money into it, because we could be told to leave in 30 days. Well, we get people, we have so many people visit. And as we've researched it and we've actually gotten counsel from different people that are in this business and kind of consult up, we consult with them. We say, hey, here's our deal. And they say, well, it's your building. Now, God can do what he wants. But you know what? I don't think that we have to necessarily have that hurdle. If we could take that hurdle away, I think we could reach more people for Christ. And I say, let's do it. Let's do it. And we need to do it together, okay? We can't do it alone. Will you join us? You know, it's going to cost $2.1 million to buy that building and build it out, which, by the way, is a freaking steal. It's a 40,000 square foot building that is very new, and it is solid. That's to build it out. $1 million to buy it, $1 million to build it out. We can do this, but we can't do it without you, without every one of you. Engaging, and here's what I want you to do. Lock in. Here's our vision. We want to get that building. It'll help us all reach the vision and the dream we want to have that God's called us to, but you have to pray. I just want you to pray. God, how can I be involved? How can I be involved in this campaign? I want you to pray that. Would you just pray that? Could you just pray that? I mean, we gave you free coffee tonight. Could you do that one thing for us? Could you just say, God, show me how I can be involved, and then listen to what he says. Would you do that? If our churches would do that, then whatever God does at the end of this campaign, however much money we raise for that building, will be his goal, his plan, okay? Yeah, it's rain. Okay. You haven't heard it for a long time, but that's what it is. Okay, in Sandy right now, our building in Sandy, it's leaking like a sieve. And I'm not kidding. You can pull ceiling tiles away and you can see daylight. It's falling apart. It's time to get a new facility. It's time to do it. Listen, we're in the middle of this campaign. In the middle of October is when it ends. So you have about 4 weeks here to be praying. Okay, you be praying and ask God how you can be involved in this vision that God's given us. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you so much. Actually, look up for a second, would you? Because you got to see this last quote. I'm sorry, I cannot let this go. I forgot it, but you got to see it. This is one of my favorite quotes. C.T. Studd said, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." That is my heart, man. I want to win people to Christ. I'm not interested in getting a nice building just to be satisfied. Let's reach people for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much for your heart to seek and save the lost. Thank you, God. I think that you have blessed us because that's what our heart wants to be. We want to win more people to Jesus. God, thank you that you've given us a vision to plant 20 services by the year 2020. Thank you that you've showed us that this is the time for us to plant our roots down deep, especially in Sandy, with that church, to grow solid so they could even resource more and more church plants. Help us to do that. Help all of us to pray and say, God, how can I be involved? Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you that we get to be involved in it. Thank you for the vision, a preferred future of seeing this state radically changed for you, Jesus, and we claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.